All right, so I'm going to talk to y'all tonight. I went all over the place of what I was going to talk to you guys about. I had something I was planning on talking. I had all my notes. Yesterday at noon, they all got thrown in the trash. So you're getting what it's getting. So, all right, so worthiness. We're going to talk about worthiness, all right? Some say your worthiness is rooted in your character or behavior. Well, wouldn't that mean that you're not worthy until you earn it? Others say that your worthiness is based on your accomplishments and the accolades of others. Well, that would mean that you're not worthy unless someone else says you are. And then there are those who say, well, you're worthy when you decide to be. Well, that means you can magically have that power all by yourself and to make those nasty feelings of unworthiness go away. I'm going to say all those are wrong. So, why are they wrong? If you are worthy because of your behavior, that means your worthiness must measure up to the perfection or whatever measuring stick there is. Both are not possible. And no one is perfect, and you can't measure the invisible. If you are worthy because of accomplishments or the praise of others, that means your worthiness is at the mercy of others, people's opinions. There is no power or stability in this. People are finicky, they're wishy-washy. And if you're worthy simply because you can decide you are, that means you can change your mind again when you feel differently. Making your worthiness conditional and unreliable. So ladies, this evening, I'm gonna ask you, where do you find your worthiness? Is it being a mom? Is it being a wife? Is it in your job title? Is it the type of house that you have? Is it the Pinterest house you have? Where do you find your worth? In society, a lot of times we find our worth, they tell us to find our worth in the things that you see on social media, right? So what does it mean to be worthy? This is going to be blow your mind. The root of the word worthy is worth. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? To have worth is to have value. When something is worthy, it has importance. This means that for you to be worthy, you must have value and importance. So I ask, who decides if you have value and if you are worthy? So as women, we struggle with thinking that we have to be perfect to be worthy. We have to be enough for everyone. So I read something on Facebook that I wanted to read to you, and it says, we struggle with the need to be good enough, need to be mom enough, successful enough, that we need to be talented enough, pretty enough, smart enough, the need to be happy enough, perky enough, positive enough, the need to be organized, pulled together, or put together enough. The need to be just anything enough. So here are some things. If you've heard me, I spoke like in 2019 at Women's Mother's Day here. And I kind of talked about the same topic, but you'll see that it's not exactly the same. But I have this board and I've kept it in the back of one of our closets. It is one of my closets, but it's in another room. And I found it and I was like, oh. And so one of my friends said, well, maybe you saved it for such a time as this. So I'm going to share it with you again. Maybe. I don't know why I didn't have that turned around. All right. So some things that we say about ourselves a lot of times is we say we're useless, we're ugly, we're unlovable, we're stupid, we're not enough, we're a loser, we're fat. We're unworthy, we're boring, we worry, and we have anxiety. So I'm going to tell you that those things that you say about yourself are not what God is telling you not what our Creator is telling you. He hasn't called you to look exactly like everyone else, and He absolutely has not called you to be liked by everyone. He hasn't called you to be all things or to be impressive or be the master of everything. Guess what? He hasn't called you to be perfect either. Again, we think that if we are perfect, we are worthy, and it doesn't work that way. So I'm going to read a story that it's very familiar, and it's in John 4. If you have your Bibles, you can turn. You don't have to. And it's about a woman that was so far from perfect. She was living in sin, and she was an outcast. But Jesus still came to her, and he still thought she was worthy. So I'm going to read John 4:4. Now he had to go to Samaria. Okay, so before we go on, he had. That is huge. He had to. Now, if you know the backstory, you know that Samaritans did not converse with the Jews and that Jews would find every way not to go through Samaria. Okay? But in here, he had to go to Samaria because there's a reason, and we all know why. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey. Let's stop right there. Tired. Ladies, do you get tired? You should have seen me last night up here, homegirls. I was a cranky box. I had not been home. I was tired. But I think a lot of times in society, and I think that maybe not even society, but within ourselves, sometimes I think we feel guilty for being tired. As women, as moms, as wives. I know there's, I'm going to admit this. There's times like I'm home by myself and I'm hanging out on the couch. I hear the garage door go up, Corey's home, and I'm like, ooh, why don't you go unload that dishwasher? Because I don't want him to think I'm being lazy. But don't tell him that Sunday. Because I thought, well, if he comes home, he's going to think that I'm being lazy and he has to do it. Anyway, but I think that we do that. Quick little story. So my mom and dad used to live, it is hot up here. Mom and dad used to live like 2 hours away. And so we would go visit them. And every time I would go, and she could contest this, I would get so tired. And like, I constantly was like, man, I don't want to go take a nap. And I remember one time I told her, I was like, I feel so guilty because every time I come here, I want to take a nap. And she said, because when you're at home, you feel like you can't rest. And here you can. And I thought, oh, that's right. So can I go take a nap? But anyway, but I think that we do. But we need to remember, this is Jesus. He was tired as well. Anyway, that was a total side note. That wasn't even in my notes. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about noon, which will be important. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "Well, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Because like I said, the Jews don't associate with the Samaritans. So let's break this down a little bit. So she went at noon, the heat of the day, to avoid the whispers, to avoid the shame, because she didn't want to interact with anybody. But Jesus had to go through Samaria because he was expecting her and he was waiting on her because he felt like she was worth it. She was known to be living in sin, and so Jesus knew everything about her. He knew what the lifestyle she was leading, and he also knew everything that she'd done in her past and everything that she'd be doing in her future. And he still thought that she was worthy. No respectable Jewish man would talk to a woman like her, especially in a public place, because they wouldn't want to be seen talking to her. But Jesus, he didn't care. He didn't care what others thought. He still felt like she was worthy. Do you ever feel unworthy to go to the well where Jesus is waiting for you? Because, ladies, I have so many times. Does your past or even your present situation, your sins, make you think that you aren't worthy or enough, just like the Samaritan woman? Living under the assumption that there is no hope, no fix, and you are way too far gone. Jesus saw past her sin, and he knew she was worth it. The Savior of the world asked an outcast to help him. He asked for her help. Just a little side note, did you know that this story in the Bible between Jesus, the dialogue between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, is the longest recorded conversation to one single individual that Jesus had? He spoke to millions of people. He spoke all the time. But that was the first and the only recorded, there might have been more, but recorded single conversations he had. He picked an outcast. He picked someone that we would look at and we would not think would be worthy. Let's go on. So, number 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank it for himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" You know, it would have been very easy for this woman to be so shameful and to be felt so unworthy that she wouldn't even have went to the well. But she did. She went to the well because she met Jesus. She could have felt so ashamed, so unworthy, and overwhelmed by her situation, by her sins. But she didn't let it stop her. She went ahead and engaged with this man, even though she didn't know at the time who he was. She was curious about his promise, and he didn't back away, no matter how deep her sin ran through. Ladies, what if we would just sit in his presence? I don't know about you, but I know the times, especially when I'm in my head of thinking all kinds of crazy stuff, or I'm just tired. Once I sit in his presence, I'm a whole different person. I feel different. I'm more confident. I feel more worth when I've been in his presence. So have you been in his presence? Do you sit in his presence? Sin and shame are the main culprits in hindering our sense of worth. We can't ignore them. However, we cannot remain stuck in them. Allowing self-condemnation to steal our sense of worth in Christ. And this is a huge distraction that only comes from the enemy. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up in eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." So she's not getting it at this point. I'm going to jump to 19. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship in Jerusalem. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do not know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit. And in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." Well, then the woman says, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming." So she still's not getting it. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then listen to Jesus' words. He says, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then, his disciples returned and was surprised by him talking to. So even his disciples that followed him and were with him all the time, they still didn't get why he was speaking to this woman. And they asked him, why are you talking to her? You know, they're probably thinking, she isn't worthy. Do you know what she's doing? Do you know the life that she leads? But then, the leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So she found her word. This is redemption right there. That's a story of redemption, acceptance, truth, love, and grace. You see, she didn't find her worth at that point in her identity and in her sin anymore. She found it in who gave her life. She didn't feel unworthy anymore because she had met the one that gave her life. You know, in my job that I do, we're constantly talking about what something is worth. What a car is worth, what a house is worth. So we're constantly talking about worth. But in reality, something is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. And guess what? Christ thought, just like the Samaritan woman, that you were worth paying the ultimate price on the cross. He was willing to pay his life for you. You are worthy in the eyes, and honestly, that's what matters. So, I asked earlier, who gets to decide your value? Who gets to decide your worth? Well, that's going to be our Creator. So I'm going to go to Psalms 139. I'm going to start at the beginning of the chapter. You have searched me, O God. He pursues us, ladies. He's looking for us. He's had to be with us, just like he has to be with the Samaritan woman. You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. He knows everything about you. I've been married for 28 years, 27 years. Don't tell him that, Sunday either. Something like that. So, but we dated long before that, like in high school. So we've been together very long, and I would say my husband probably knows me pretty much about as good as anybody. He doesn't even touch how well that the Lord knows me compared to what even my husband knows me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Excuse me. He knows everything about me, and some of it in good. And he still loves me, and he still finds that I'm worth it. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. We can never, ever get away from God. We can think we have, but it doesn't, work that way. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, and darkness is light for you. So many times I think women live in a darkness, and for that, Christ is there. Christ is light. He can be our light in that darkness. For you created my innermost being. You knitted me in, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. Do you know that in Psalms 119:73, when they talked about being knitted together, that, okay, so let, listen in my notes. This is kind of what I talked about on Mother's Day that day, but okay, knitting. Who knits? I know this homegirl does. I'm so proud of you. You're like the only one. Okay, so when you knit, Andrea, do you use one hand or two?
Knitting uses two hands.
Exactly. So Psalms 119:73 says he used his hands, not his hand. You know, he could have just done like he did the animals and said, you know what? I think this world needs a Misty. And just spoke it in existence. He could have said that about all of us. He could have spoke all these things, but he took the time to knit us. I praise you because I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That is not anything that we could have done or that we have done. That is him only. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. That's a whole sermon right there on unformed body. Don't get me started on that. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Ladies, that tells you right there, you have a purpose. You are worth it. I showed you this board and showed you what so many things that we say about ourselves and that we say we're not worthy. Inside here is what Christ says about us. He says we're free. Hey, we're forgiven. He says in his word, I have called you by name. You are mine. You are made in his image. So don't be talking bad about yourself. Don't give me that look because I'm the worst. God's in the midst of her and she shall not be moved. He delights in me, chosen, wanted, blessed, warriors. He gives me peace, accepted. Do you ever feel like you're not accepted? There's been plenty of times in my life I have felt like I am not accepted in a group. I mean, I'm old now, I don't care. But when I was young, I'm being serious. When I was young, I cared. I cared to be accepted. There were so many things that I did to try to be accepted. It's not worth it. Where was I? You can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We know that one. Saved by grace, love, for I know the plans I have for you, the plans to give you hope for the future. Before you were born, I set you apart. I loved you at your darkest. You are fearfully made, wonderfully made. She is worth far more than rubies and pearls. Guess what, ladies? You're daughter of the king. And that right there is what is worth it. The mighty God who created us in his image and likeness has deemed us worthy. Jesus paid it by demonstrating love when we were his enemies. God deemed us valuable and important. He deemed us worthy of redemption, worthy of adoption, worthy of reconciliation, worthy of the blood of his son, Jesus. You know, for so many years, if you've heard part of my testimony, but I didn't feel like I ever measured up to what Christ did for me. I didn't feel like I deserved him dying on the cross for me. Thanks, sister. And you know, it's a sad place to be in when you're constantly feeling that, feeling like you don't deserve his worthiness. You don't deserve his love. You don't deserve this or that because you're not worth it. You're not, you just don't feel worthy. Well, several years ago, I was teaching a Sunday school class and I was studying, and this has been years ago. We were living in BA and the kids were younger, and Corey and the kids were gone, which was like a Saturday, which was very unusual. I have no idea where they were. I don't remember. But it was just me, and I was studying, and it was like the Lord slapped me in the face. And he brought me to my knees that day in my kitchen. And from that point on, I felt worthy. It was like God, he didn't tell me like in a voice or anything, but it's like me feeling so unworthy, it was almost like a slap in his face for what he did for me on the cross. Because that's saying, well, sorry, that's not good enough. You know what? Yeah, it is. And I don't live in that anymore at all. It's a very big burden on my heart when other women feel that way, or teenager, or whoever gets to feeling that way. I'd like to just be able to shake him and say, no, it's so much different once you see your worth and once you see what Christ did for you. Because you know what? When he was up on that cross, he was thinking of you. And you think, okay, that's cool. No, that's really cool. He really was thinking of you. And I know it's so hard to imagine that. I mean, it is so hard to imagine Christ being up on the cross and him thinking of Chelsea, of Angie, of Misty. I mean, you can't imagine, but he did. He thought of every single one of you. He knew that you'd be sitting here tonight listening to this mediocre speaker. Anyway, I'm teasing. So, I don't know where I was. Ladies, you are loved, you are enough, you are chosen, you are worthy. Because of what Christ did for you on the cross, you were born worthy, and nothing can change that. You can either accept it or reject it. In Ephesians 2:10, he tells us, you are his masterpiece. Ladies, that right there shows us our worthiness. Let's pray. Our dear Father God, Lord, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we just praise you, Father. We praise you for who you are. Lord, we thank you so much for what you did for us on the cross. Lord, I just pray, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know their worth, that doesn't know that they are worthy of your love and of your acceptance, that they will come to know that. Lord, I just pray that they will reach out to somebody. If it's me, if it's anyone, Lord, I just pray that they will reach out so they can be fully restored and see their worth, so they can walk out of here with a whole new sense of forgiveness. It's like no other, dear Father. And Lord, I praise you. I thank you. I thank you for the ones that have thought to put this together, and thank you for the worship that we've had. And Lord, I just pray that you go with us for the rest of the conference. And I especially ask for prayer for the three ladies that are speaking tomorrow. Give them the words. Calm their nerves. I know it's not easy, dear Father. And Lord, just be with us in the remainder of the night. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I got them my glasses on.